secretary to the Board of Trustees and the university, provided materials in preparation for discussion of expectations of board members. Committee members reviewed a summary of expectations of governing boards at several universities, the Association of Governing Boards Code of Conduct, and a draft of a self-evaluation survey. They discussed the next steps in the process and plan to continue the discussion at the next meeting. Dr. Thompson also provided the next segment of responses from questions and comments raised during the session entitled Building the Agenda for the Year Ahead at the Board of Trustees Retreat in July 2010. She briefly discussed responses to questions related to regulatory burdens, the status of major searches, and the impact of proposed state pension regulations on hiring, and indicated that responses to additional questions are forthcoming. Lastly, Dr. Thompson discussed the collection of benchmark data that could be used to compare the university to peer institutions. Committee members discussed the use of metrics and successful examples of dashboard reports that would be helpful to the chair of the board and other trustees. And Dr. Thompson referenced a related article in Trusteeship Magazine concerning the importance of metrics for board members. The next meeting of the committee will be held on April 26, 2011 at 1 p.m. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Ms. Donna McNeely, who is the University Ethics Order, for a brief presentation. Are you there, Donna? There she is.
I can hear you.
God knows he needs the ethics.
There you go.
That's it.
Okay, all right, sorry about that. Okay, we'll get started over. What I'd like to do today is discuss with you the accomplishments of the Ethics Office during the 2002 calendar year, and then our plans for the coming year. Trustee Montgomery, I thank you for the wonderful summary that you did of my presentation, and I hope it doesn't seem too repetitive as I go through it now. So. As far as the 2010 year in review, until this year, online ethics training used to be one of our primary tasks. That's changed a little bit. But our 2010 online training program received outstanding feedback this year. As you'll remember, 2010 is the second year that the University of Illinois developed and administered the training course for all of the public universities in Illinois. This course is developed within the very detailed standards that are developed by the Executive Inspector General for the agencies of the 11 of the Illinois Governor. For the U of I, annual training is completed by over 48,000 employees. Now, often we talk about our FTE count, and the number is significantly less than that. So to not be confused, when we're talking about 48,000, we're talking about every undergraduate student who has a job on campus. We're talking about extra help employees, adjunct faculty. So those that are just passing through the university for even very short periods of time are included in this population and receive some type of training each year. Our compliance rate was over 99%. It was actually about 99.98. As of this morning, there are 7 employees out of our 48,000 who have not completed training.
Anyone at this table?
No one at this table, and I don't think anyone in this room, because believe me, I know all 7 of them. The other accomplishment was our Handbook for Good Ethical Practice was published in the 6th edition this year, and the major change on that was to include non-compensated individuals and those acting on behalf of the university. As I briefly alluded to, December became a very busy time for us. as a result of the procurement communications reporting requirement from Senate Bill 51 and the related CMS reporting system. We announced in December the upcoming requirements to report to the entire university, and we began very quickly learning as much as possible about the procurement process and the expectations regarding reporting. And this was something that was a pretty new topic to the ethics office. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. I also presented at national conferences for ethics and compliance officers. And probably the bad news of the year is that the FTE count for the university-wide ethics office was reduced by 1/3. So we went from 3 employees to 2. So definitely a challenge. As far as our plans for 2011, we will, of course, continue to be an advisory venue for university employees. And this is not just for ethical concerns. This is also for advice. I don't know who to contact, don't know which office to discuss this concern with. So in addition to the concerns, a lot of times we are serving as a bit of a traffic director to help employees get to where they need to be to resolve the concern that they have or to obtain clarification and better understand the other side of the situation or the policy. We can meet with individuals in person. We also have a designated email account that is a very busy email account and a toll-free ethics line. And we take great pride in picking up the phone and an employee say, I know you're not the responsible office, but I knew you would get me a quick answer or you would get back to me. So that always makes me think that we're doing what is expected. We also maintain our ethics office website. We continue to develop that website to add further insight for employees. Our most current edition was a pretty robust section on procurement reporting, and we are literally expanding this section by the week as we learn more regarding that requirement. We continue to issue our Ethics Matters electronic newsletter, which goes beyond the topics that are addressed in the annual ethics training. We work with the Executive Inspector General when they need to appear on our campus to do a review, make sure that they have all the information that that they need to satisfy themselves as they do the review. And then we send, on a fairly regular basis, subject matter email communications where we try to target specific audiences that will be impacted by changes or such. The biggest change, and it's difficult for me to describe how big this change is. I've been here for a long time now. I start to say I'm becoming an old timer here at the university, and this is probably the biggest thing that I've seen impact at least my office and many others, and that is Senate Bill 51, both from the purchasing impact and then also the reporting impact. Since January 1, we have requested over 8,500 IDs from Central Management Services to access the system. So this gives you an idea of how many people this requirement impacts. We are further developing guidance for employees, trying to better interpret as we learn about the complexities and the very unique situations that our faculty members, purchasing staff, and others are being involved in. And we are continuing to work with many others here at the university to influence the implementation and interpretive rules or possibly even legislative change regarding the procurement. Statements of economic interest, these days are actually pretty routine for the ethics office. We've been doing this for a very long time. We have over 8,000 employees here at the university, including the trustees, who are required to file a statement of economic interest. Our first role in that process is to identify the entire population that needs to complete and provide that information along with mailing addresses to the Secretary of State. Throughout the filing window, which is about this time, mid-March to May 1st, the Ethics Office supplements all the communications that the Secretary of State does. They send a couple mailings, we send several emails, we make personal phone calls. Our goal is to ensure or help ensure that our employees are not fined for late filing. This is a personal fine. It is not a fine to the university, but for those of you who are not familiar to the process, if you are late in filing, you receive a bill for $100 per day for the late filing. So we do everything that we can to ensure that our employees are not